ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hour number two here in Mobile. Welcome in. Welcome back to 104.5 The Zone. Live from the 74th annual Senior Bowl. Practices underway a little later on. Many thanks to the people who sent us here. Mitsubishi Electric, Scoreboard Bar and Grill, Two Rivers Ford, making it all happen. Your phone calls are welcome at any point. Join this gang of whatever the hell we would call ourselves at this point. Kirby is here with me. Robert is somewhere in the shadows. And Lucas is back there making it all go. 615-737-1045 is the number. We're going to talk about what's happening with the cult situation, because being in Mobile with the entire league, you hear a lot of things and stuff's being discussed in seedy back rooms and all kinds of smoke-filled cigar bars and things of that nature. But, Lucas, you said you had something real quick?
Yeah, I don't think you called us a gang of whatever we are. I don't think we're a gang. I think we're a gaggle.
A gaggle?
A gaggle.
We're just a gang of misfits. Isn't that the song from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer right before they were looking for the Island of Misfit Toys?
Oh, actually, why is that the only musical reference on this show I get?
Hey, you have a very small window of musical taste. And that's one of my favorite songs.
No, it's not true. I like all kinds of different music. I just don't know who sings these songs.
Would you like to hear the Oxford Dictionary of gaggle?
Please.
Wait.
Go ahead. I don't want the Oxford Dictionary.
You want the Urban
Dictionary. I want the Urban Dictionary, although be careful with that.
The gaggle is three or more geese. Mm-hmm.
That is the first definition. Official second definition.
On Urban Dictionary.
This is Oxford Dictionary, but I think...
I don't want Oxford.
I don't care. Oxford. This Oxford Dictionary, I think, is a more apt definition. It says, a disorderly or noisy group of people.
That's literally what we all
describe
four
what
geese.
We are.
Yeah.
Four geese.
You've been around them? They're noisy.
I mean, I guess my laugh kind of sounds like a honk, so I guess that's not a completely off-base description. I want to touch on something quickly. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it.
I cannot read the Urban Dictionary one.
Because I...
No.
What, are you scared?
No, yeah, I would be. Don't read that.
Coward?
I can probably lay it out there for you, but I'm not going to.
Chicken bleep? All right. You mentioned the report that Paul had about Paul Hoska, who has been the Titans equipment staffer for 40 years. He has been with them since he was 18 years old, and apparently he was fired today. Now, I had gotten a message saying that at about 10:20 this morning, saying the same. I've just checked my DMs. Has been with them his entire life from 18 years old. It's all he's ever known. I have to imagine that there are more details here that have not been made public, because I cannot envision a situation, or really, who would be, like, that's not like a Rand Carthon thing. Like, what does a new general manager have to do with the equipment staffer who's been there for 40 years? I don't know enough at this point to be able to dive into what happened there. But here's the thing. Here's what I can't speak to, because I've been around Hoss my entire... I mean, we all have, I guess, at some point, or some form or fashion. If you've been around the Titans facility, Hoss has been an actual permanent fixture around this thing. And he is somebody who is loved by the players, who has been always very, very highly regarded by the staff. So to see something like this, and based on my understanding, for it to have happened so abruptly and frankly, a bit... What are you laughing about? Your microphone's on. It's not oh, God, Kirby.
I'm reading the text.
Okay. All right. Let's not. I want more information before, just as we talked about the Arian Foster thing. And the Todd Downing thing, I don't want to recklessly speculate. All I know is that, just based off my immediate reaction to it, that's a shame. That's a very, very kind man, who I have always enjoyed my experiences with, not necessarily like in-depth experiences, but that makes me sad to hear, that is how that has gone down. And if there is something more significant there, we will keep you updated as things go along. Anyway, What we need to talk about is that the Colts, here's the deal. All right, the main reason that I come to Mobile, that I value Mobile, is because of information. All right? There's a difference between what Ramon and Kayla and Will have done on Radio Row this week, which is getting to talk to a lot of different draft prospects that have been here on Radio Row, and what I'm able to do with the practices, with all my media friends, with all kinds of people who are in town for the league, and, you know, after-hours conversations that it's just difficult to have at any given point because we're all scattered to the wind. And Combine and Senior Bowl, it's really one of the biggest events of the off-season calendar for us all to be collectively here. So, you know, not all of it is reported fact. Not all of it ends up coming to fruition, but it's a good kind of understanding of where things lie right now. And the thing that is being discussed most this week in any setting that I have been around is that the Colts might actually do this Jeff Saturday thing. I don't know if you saw the report from Ian Rappaport today, and I'll read you the tweet specifically regarding the Colts interview process, because apparently Jim Irsay, who wasn't involved in the first round and had 17 different second-round interviews. Josina Anderson, by the way, just tweeted 13 minutes ago, Colts fans, hang in there, ... So apparently, I think something is coming down the line, or at least Josina is alleging that it might be. But here is the tweet from Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofalo. The Colts are nearly done with their second round of head coaching interviews and are considering a rare round three as well, sources tell me and Ian Rappaport. If they go that route, they'd pare down the list to a select few finalists before making this decision on their next head coach. It goes on to say, Colts general manager Chris Ballard and owner Jim Irsay are conducting one of the more thorough searches we've seen. Lots of candidates, long in-person interviews, around 12 hours in some cases, so another round to make sure they're comfortable with their pick that would fit. You know how that reads to me initially based on, you know, the amount of discussions that's going on around here? One, they should have involved Jim Irsay in the first round of interviews. Two, Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard seem to be further apart on kind of discerning what exactly it is that determines the fit, which is why a round three would be necessary. And now, I think as long as this continues to go on, and until such time as Jeff Saturday is officially ruled out, I really think this is his job to lose.
Everything is just peachy in Indy.
I mean, my God. Can you imagine? Titans fans, I'm sure, are relishing in this news. And, you know, understandably, it's a fascinating thing to watch just from a league perspective. But the idea that this might actually go down after seeing the results, one win on the season and some catastrophic losses, historically bad losses, under a man who had no prior coaching experience beyond a season or two of high school football. Woof. 615-737-1045. What would your reaction be if the Colts did in fact hire Jeff Saturday? Rick in Hendersonville is first. Hey, Rick.
I have no opinion on that. Not any whatsoever. But you got Kirby there with you.
I sure do.
Buck, I'd like for you to ask Kirby a very important question. What does he think about bottle service?
Well, if you've got the money to waste on just somebody stacking a bunch of bottles in front of you, go for it.
Lucas, you lied to me. Wait, Rick lied to us.
No. Rick and I were we teamed up on that one.
You're scheming?
Yeah, Rick and I were doing some scheming there. Kirby, oh. the reference there was Buck.
Why is this? I'm trying to do serious sports talk.
I'm
going to
turn you down so Kirby can hear me. The reference there was Buck trying to level with people. Kirby the other week was just talking in passing. You know, when you and your buddies in college and you get bottle service at a bar. And we had to just come to a screeching halt and stop everything because Buck thought that was a normal thing people do with a college income.
I would have liked to have had bottle service money in college, but that wasn't the case.
Okay, what do you want me to do here? You want me to just sit here and do you want me to feel sorry about this, Lucas? It's not going to work. You're not going to publicly shame me this way. I tried to make a reference I thought was relatable. It turned out it wasn't. I'm not upset about it.
But I am publicly shaming you in this way.
Well, yeah, you think you are, you and other people think that I should be ashamed of this. My level of actual shame is a completely different matter of discussion.
I think you're just burying it deep down.
This, yeah, he's like swallowing that. But no, I mean, it's like, you should be ashamed.
I'm not.
But you have to have shame in order to be ashamed.
That's See, Kirby knows me.
I've learned a little bit about you in this last year and a half. And I'm not complaining. You're a good guy. And I mean, you know, more power to you.
I see. That's all somebody has to say, Kirby.
The little fella, Lucas.
The little fella.
How dare you try to embarrass the man that is carrying the water for you?
Thank you, Kirby.
Why did you turn on me like this?
Kirby is my ally, not yours. Not you, not Rick in Hendersonville. Bleep you both.
You won't catch me with some manufactured question, young man. I've been around longer than that. I am not Joe Biden, although I may have the same hairline.
Kirby has.
I am totally broken by this.
You know what? Eat it. I don't need any other wins today. I will take L's for the rest of the afternoon just because I have Kirby on my side. Nothing can stop us now. We are no longer a gaggle. The gaggle is divided. Chris Doering of the SEC Network is next.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Welcome back here live at the Mobile Convention Center. It's a lot quieter today than it has been the past couple of days. Practices going on this morning, one more later this afternoon, and Chris Doering of the SEC Network and SiriusXM has been down here covering it all, as well as all of the college football conversations throughout the course of the year. My guy, what's happening?
Hey, man, good to be on with you, and good to see you in person this week, man.
Yeah, you know, it's nice. I love Mobile and I love the Combine that way, just because there's so many people that, you know, we catch up throughout the course of the year, and it's almost always on phone or on Zoom. So to physically put faces and shake hands and all this kind of thing, it's good to finally meet you in person as well.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, and you're right about that, man. I feel like there's kind of a summer camp feel to showing up in Mobile, see the same people, and get a chance to catch up, and kind of same thing at SEC Media Days, man. Looking forward to getting up to Nashville this year.
Oh, buddy. That's right, Lucas. I had completely forgotten that SEC Media Days is in Nashville this year. That is going to be a time. Meanwhile, you've been down here, obviously. You've been talking to a lot of the players. You've been talking to a lot of people involved in the Senior Bowl process, coaches and Jim Nagy, the whole nine. What's been your, I guess, just general observation about the group that they have collected for the 74th edition of the event?
Yeah, it's a little different, isn't it? I mean, last year, kind of the focal point was the quarterbacks and had a lot of the big names that were expected to be drafted highest amongst the position. This year, you don't quite have that same star power at the quarterback position. But, you know, Max Duggan's been a guy that obviously we've talked about a lot in the second half of the year, and things didn't go well for him in the game against Georgia in the national championship. But I thought he's had a nice week, had a good practice yesterday, and has been impressive at that position. Really, the star power, I think, this year is at the running back position, man. I had a great conversation with Kenny McIntosh yesterday, who I think is maybe the most underrated, under-talked about piece of that national championship team last year. The Georgia players as a whole, I mean, Chris Smith, another one that I had a chance to catch up with yesterday, who just what an impressive story of being patient and waiting for his turn. And honestly, I mean, you look at the two biggest plays of the two national championship seasons could arguably have been made by him. The interception against Clemson that got them to win in the first game of the 2021 season, and then the scoop after the blocked field goal attempt in the SEC championship game this past season. So good to see the Georgia guys out here. A lot of Alabama faces, and I know that helps the crowd interest in Mobile here. But maybe the guy above everybody that's kind of stood out to me is the Tulane running back, Tyjae Spears. You know, just been really not only explosive but consistent doing it. And that, having played in this game, that's the thing that you strive to do, man. You don't want to have these peaks and valleys, you know, days where you're great or periods where you're great and others where you're making mistakes. And I thought Spears has done a nice job of really being consistent throughout the week so far.
At Chris Doering is where you can follow him on the socials. You can see him on the SEC Network and hear him later today on Sirius XM. That's the Tulane running back in particular. Was watching a lot of the running backs yesterday. And beyond him, Eric Gray, who somebody obviously Volunteer fans are familiar with in Oklahoma this past season, I thought he acquitted himself quite well in day two. And, you know, the first day is always a different kind of environment. I was talking to Darnell Wright, the right tackle, formerly of Tennessee, about this. And, you know, you don't think of these guys having jitters necessarily, but of course they do. It's one of the biggest job interviews, or the start of the biggest job interview of their professional careers. But to see the way that somebody like Eric Gray has performed and showed himself capable beyond what we've already know of him on tape to be able to perform, it seems like the coaching staff has really kind of valued what he brings to the table as well, at least in my conversations with people, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And it's a different year this year. You know, I mentioned having played in this game back in January of 96, and the tradition has always been you get a complete staff from the NFL that is going to be, you know, that missed the playoffs. And so you have the continuity of the verbiage amongst the coaches and the technique that they're teaching. This year they've gone with a little different way of putting these two coaching staffs together, wanting to get more access to different teams. And so you have kind of a piecemeal staff get together with guys coaching kind of above the position that they typically have with their respective franchises. So I worry that is something that may be a little bit of a detractor from the experience from some of these guys. You know, I as a player, you want to come in and kind of get the opportunity to really experience you know, the whole depth of what it's going to be like at the next level. And I can tell you, you're right, the anxiety level's high. Showing up here kind of on your own, the job interview, as you mentioned, new scheme, new verbiage, new teammates, trying to acclimate is a little challenging. And I think the NFL as a whole enjoys, you know, getting to see these players be uncomfortable and monitoring how they respond to that.
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the wide receiver group, given your background and kind of what we've seen out here. Jonathan Mingo is somebody who I think a lot of Titans fans are interested, not just because they're longing for a former Ole Miss wide receiver that they drafted who's currently in the Super Bowl, but because obviously there are wide receiver needs with the Tennessee Titans moving forward. And under the guidance now of a former Florida Gator such as yourself and Rand Carthon, putting the roster together, what has stood out to you about this wide receiver class? And maybe as a follow-up, maybe we'll talk about this later, but the idea that Zay Flowers isn't here, Chris, I was kind of surprised to see him in the Shrine Bowl as opposed to here in Mobile.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting. We're seeing maybe a little bit more of the NFL weight being put behind the Shrine Bowl as opposed to being here. You tell me if you agree, but I feel like there's not as much of a presence as there has been in the past. I haven't seen a ton of the NFL coaches that you typically run into, personnel, office officials, not necessarily here in full force the way that they typically have been in the past. So that's a little bit weird. But, you know, going back to your question about the receivers, our show is on 2 to 5. So I'm trying to watch the team that has the majority of the SEC receivers. While we're doing the show, it's a little challenging, but I, you know, having been down on the field for one-on-ones the last couple of days when the national team is gone, Jaden Reed, Michigan State wide receiver, has been maybe the most impressive to me. I mean, he's a guy that has a lot of speed, but his route running has been crisp. He's been creative with what he's done to set people up at the line as well as, you know, in the stems. So he's one. And then I really take an interest into Michael Wilson, the wide receiver from Stanford. It's a guy that's missed a lot of the last three seasons, been trying to come out here, prove that he's 100% and prove his value. He's a longer, taller receiver, but I thought he's done a nice job of being a technician in the way that he's gone about running his route this week.
Chris Doering of the SEC Network and SiriusXM. You can hear him from 2 to 5 later on this afternoon here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Been in Mobile all week breaking down the Senior Bowl prospects. To that point, the idea of players who aren't here, Chris, Will Levis, you know, we've talked about this at least throughout the course of the week on our show. I understand why it may not be in his best interest to be here if he's consistently being discussed as a top 10 pick. I completely get that side of things, even if I think that based off his senior tape from his junior tape, you would like to see, you know, I'm just generally curious about what he brings to the table beyond what his senior season was. And then there's Stetson Bennett, who's a, you know, beyond the off-the-field situation that's going on with him. I was kind of surprised to not see him accept his invitation here. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
I'm with you. I'm shocked to not see Stetson Bennett accept the opportunity to come here and compete, because it always has seemed like that's been his personality, right? A guy that's wanting to prove himself, has a chip on his shoulder, being doubted by a lot of people, you know, the size, the athleticism being questioned. Like, I thought for sure he would want to come be here. And I get it. You know, I came here after we played the national championship game my senior year. And so it's a long year, you know, playing deep into the month of January. And, you know, maybe, you know, with the number of games that they play now between the SEC championship and the college football playoffs, it's one where he needed to take a breath. But it didn't seem like it aligned with the guy that we've typically known to always answer any challenge that's out there. So surprised to not see him here. Not that surprised about Will Levis not being here. Everybody's kind of talking about him being a, you know, a top five, top 10 selection. But at the same time, you know, I think he has a lot to prove, whether we're talking about, you know, the season that he had, the limitations because of the injury, not being able to run the football as well or as frequently as he did in his 2021 season. I know he's still dealing with an injury, supposedly, but this is a guy, I like him a lot, but when you look at the biggest games in his career at Kentucky, didn't necessarily put up the kind of numbers that you'd like to see. Very efficient in the Louisville win in 2021. You saw some of that same efficiency, you know, against LSU in 2021, but this was a guy that I think unfortunately took a step backwards in terms of production, largely because of, you know, not having Chris Rodriguez for the first month of the season, and then the offensive line that really failed to block for him very well. But I still want to know about his decision making. Is he going to protect the football? He's been known to throw into some dicey situations at times. So I would have liked to have seen him here just to prove that he wanted to come out and compete, and prove that the season in 2022 there in Lexington was a little bit of an aberration due to the talent around him.
Yeah, that's my thing, right? Like, he's definitely the biggest projection of the top three quarterbacks that we talk about between Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, however you want to stack them, and then Will Levis. And you bring up his decision-making. The efficiency or lack thereof, I guess, of his ability to isolate and eliminate when he goes through his progressions is the thing that – and listen, Chris, I didn't play. I watched tape as much as humanly possible to try and – make sure that I'm informed on this, so I don't want to speak unintelligently based on what my untrained eye is seeing. But I think the inefficiency of his ability to work through his progressions is the thing that catches me up the most about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly a valid criticism. You know, that's one of the things that I think as you get past Bryce Young. But to me, Bryce Young is the guy. Yeah, the Houston Texans at number two need to draft him, need to build around him. He's the guy for so many different reasons. But I think you could have some questions about C.J. Stroud. I know his stock went way up because of that performance on the biggest stage against Georgia in the semifinals. Same thing for Will Levis. And even, like, you're talking about drafting based on potential. Anthony Richardson, another one of those guys. Like, I hear people talking about him being, you know, potentially a top 15 selection, which, you know, I love the kid. He's a Gainesville boy, played at my alma mater. But at the same time, not necessarily a polished player, has huge upside because of his athleticism and what his physical gifts are. But I just worry that, you know, it is a high-risk, high-reward selection for him. And I would say the same thing, maybe not to the same degree for Will Levis, but I think there's some of that same risk that exists.
I'm glad that you brought up Anthony Richardson, and we'll wrap up with that one. Because, you know, traits and – traits are something that obviously scouts will hone in on at the quarterback position in particular, and he's so physically gifted. I think that the comparison, though, like people keep – every time I hear Anthony Richardson discussed, I hear two names that keep coming up around him, Malik Willis and Josh Allen, which are just completely different scales on the spectrum of the quarterback position. But, like, that's – I don't want to call it a justification because he's obviously, as you said – incredibly physically gifted, and the wide receiver situation at Florida this year not necessarily ideal. I think he could have had a little better talent around him, but still, it's incumbent upon him to produce. He's just such an erratic player to me, Chris, that I don't understand why it is that we have these annual infatuations with people like this beyond what we know they're physically capable of doing.
You know what it is? It's two things. One, it's the absolute infatuation with measurables, you know, being able to point to, wow, he ran the 40 in this, or he vertical jumped this, or broad jumped that, or short shuttled this. Like, those are metrics that, you know, I think people look at and can point to. If it doesn't work out, well, he had all the, you know, the things that we were looking for. I think the second thing is ego, and I honestly believe there's a lot of ego in the NFL when it comes to coaches and believing, well, he hadn't done it yet, but when he gets with me, when he's in my system, when I'm teaching him, we're going to be able to get the most out of him. And I don't, you know, I love the confidence that exists there, but I don't always know that that's the truth. But I think whoever ends up taking Anthony Richardson in the first round as a GM, as a head coach, is hanging his career on how Anthony Richardson ends up doing, because it's just such a high risk, high reward kind of selection, especially in the first round. And when you take a quarterback in the first round, nowadays, you're expecting him to play right away. Anthony Richardson does not have the ability to step in and start day one. So it needs to be a situation where he can learn, where you can bring him along, and you know, certainly he can start to understand, you know, playing within the construct of an offense. Some of his best plays that he made when he was at Florida were, hey, he missed a read here, missed that read, missed a third read, and then tucked the ball and ran for a 50-yard touchdown, which, you know, the fans love, but as a fellow player out there in the field, as a receiver, as a coach, those are not necessarily the things you're looking for from your quarterback.
I appreciate your time as always, Chris. It's your insight is always incredibly valuable. Don Davenport, our teammate here on the Zone, and I know your teammate at the SEC Network, is peppering me, making sure that I tell you hi on her behalf, so I make sure that I get that done for Dawn to hear, so she doesn't come after me by the time I get back to Nashville. And look forward to seeing you when you make it up for SEC Media Days, my guy.
Yeah, Dawn's my girl. I can't wait to be there with you guys in person, man. I'll look forward to you hosting a night out for us in Nashville, all right?
Oh, well, I can certainly do that, and I can promise you it'll be better than Veet's.
Yes, please. We definitely need that. If we could have the girl-to-guy ratio be a little bit closer to 50-50 instead of 90-10, that'd be great.
Wait, were you in there last night?
I was in Veet's last night. Yeah, hell yeah.
Chris, I'm sitting at the bar, and I said, I don't think I have seen, not, listen, it's fine, it's football, I understand what we're all here to do, but literally maybe one female in the 4 hours that we were all collectively in that bar. That is hilarious to me.
Let me tell you, let me give word to those out there that are looking for husbands that may not have had success. Like, in every day, 2 is a Senior Bowl 9 or 10. So just keep that in mind, ladies.
Wise words from Chris Doering of the SEC Network. Take care, my guy. 2 to 5 is where you can hear him on Sirius XM later this afternoon. Oh, my God. Lucas, have you been here before?
To Mobile?
Yeah.
I've been to Mobile once when I was, like, in middle school.
Oh, so you have not been to Veet's?
No. I went to Mobile when we were doing, like, a field trip down on Dauphin Island nearby there.
Oh, my God. It is hilarious. It occurred to us as we were sitting at the bar. I didn't see Chris last night, and it's packed with literally half the NFL. And it is interesting to hear what he said about the idea that the NFL seems to be throwing a little bit more weight behind the Shrine Bowl, both in terms of talent and personnel who are in attendance this week in Mobile, guys and people that you would otherwise see. But yes, literally, I would say it was 100 to 1 guy to girl ratio. So yes, if you are out here seeking future engagements, perhaps save yourself the trouble on Hinge. Just come to Veet's during the Senior Bowl. They'll take care of you. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. Coming up next, One wide receiver that is not here at the Senior Bowl that I brought up with Chris. You're going to hear some Greg Cosell analysis of that coming up next.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
We're on the island of misfit toys. Here we don't want to stay.
Okay. Is this what you wanted to hear, Kirby?
Well, there is a snappier, more jazzy version of this where the actual misfits are singing. I don't know where this operetta stuff came from, but hey, it still gets the message across.
You're not getting him back on your side, Lucas, no matter how hard you try. Kirby is my ally down here, not yours.
Hang on, Buck. Wait, I have a question for Kirby. Kirby, who
No, wait. You did not reemerge from the shadows with which to ask your question.
Kirby, I had a question for you. What is your favorite toy on the island of misfit toys? Would it be the choo-choo train with square wheels, the water pistol that only shoots jelly?
Shoots grape jelly.
Or the cowboy riding the ostrich? Because I could argue all of those toys are magnificent and probably should not be on the island of misfit toys.
You know, I didn't put that much thought into that at age 6 or 7 when I was watching the program, but I'd have to go with the squirt gun because, A, it's fun, and then, you know, if you're hungry, you can grab a snack.
I feel like no one cares what you would like, Buck. Buck would probably like the bird that does not fly but swims.
Well, I can't swim, so maybe that bird might save me someday.
That's totally fair.
I can't swim.
Wow.
Kirby, yeah, you got to teach him.
It would take 10 minutes.
We're literally on the Gulf right now. Kirby just tossed me out in the water with all these ships and barges.
No, not here. The riptides under this in the current of this river, you wouldn't survive very long.
Take him out there, Kirby.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah. I get it. We'll use
quit
the river.
Quit wising him up.
No, wait. Damn it, Kirby. You're on my side. Not theirs.
Shadows.
He asked for it. He literally asked to be sent to the shadows.
He knows when he's overplayed his hand. All right, there's some news in the world of college football before we talk about these wide receiver prospects. Chris Lowe, of course, of ESPN, who I believe, when is his regular appearance with 3HL? Is that Monday, Lucas?
Ooh, it is. I don't want to misspeak. It is early in the week.
Earlier in the week, anyway. You know Chris Lowe is a regular feature on 3HL, so you can check out the podcast feed to hear his interviews with them. He is reporting about a half hour ago, Notre Dame offensive coordinator Tommy Rees has emerged as the top target for Alabama football's offensive coordinator job. He adds Rees has had discussions with Nick Saban and is scheduled to be on campus Thursday, sources tell ESPN. Saban is looking to replace Bill O'Brien, who of course left for the Patriots offensive coordinator job. So, that's fascinating. Now, obviously, Notre Dame had a down bad year in Marcus Freeman's first full season on the job.
I don't know if I would call it a completely down bad year.
Buddy, they were like a top five team to start the year. Lost to things like Marshall.
First of all, evaluating a team based on their preseason ranking, I think, is always a mistake because preseason top 25 polls in college football are almost always completely incorrect and just a complete guess. Second of all, they had a really bad start. They lost to Marshall. They lost to a really bad Stanford team. Things looked like the wheels were falling off before they were put on in the Marcus Freeman era, and they corrected it. They picked up some big wins down the stretch, and they ended up winning their bowl game against South Carolina, what was an awesome game, a shootout. I believe Notre Dame ended with 9 wins as a ranked team. Like, Notre Dame was considered a quality win for USC at the end of the year as they were pushing for a playoff spot. So they righted the ship to pick up 9 wins and create some momentum and recruiting going into year 2 of Freeman. But this would be a big blow because Brian Kelly wanted to bring Tommy Reese to LSU, and Tommy Reese chose to stay at Notre Dame.
And also, I'd be curious how much former Wake Forest quarterback Sam Hartman's decision to go to Notre Dame, to transfer to Notre Dame this season, because obviously that is a situation that has occurred. I'd be curious to know how much Tommy Reese was involved with that. One would imagine pretty heavily. So if he jumps ship, I'm not jump ship, but if he takes a job with Alabama, and of course he would be, you know, totally within his rights to do so, I think that does affect a balance of power here. Tommy Reese is such an interesting guy. Because that was the Notre Dame quarterback, him and Everett Golson, right? Everett Golson was the Florida State transfer,
or transferred to Florida State. Oh, yeah, I remember him, number 5.
So it was Dane Crist, Tommy Reese, and Everett Golson, the quarterbacks who I most associate with my college football fandom at Notre Dame. And Tommy is the most he's the most wild card of the bunch. There was some off-the-field stuff and that he got into a little bit of bleep with, and then obviously he stuck around in South Bend, was hired under Brian. I know, it's crazy. He's literally a year older than me. He stuck around in South Bend with Brian Kelly. He was promoted to their offensive coordinator position. He stayed in Notre Dame. In fact, he stayed at Notre Dame when Brian Kelly left to go to Baton Rouge. And in fact, probably one of the best moments of that whole situation was Tommy Reese meeting with the Notre Dame team after Brian Kelly had, you know, left in the night, and was basically kind of talking people off the ledge and kind of saying, hey, you know, it's my decision to stay here with you guys. We're going to see this thing out. Committed to there's a clip on the internet that you can find. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'm paraphrasing largely, but still, Tommy Reese has definitely done a great deal of work to become one of the more respected coaches now after having an interesting college football playing career. And so for him to emerge as the top target for Alabama's offensive coordinator job is, one, a testament to him, but a fascinating proposition. What other names? Have you seen any other names discussed? Admittedly, Lucas, I haven't been tracking the Nick Saban coaching searches that closely with all the stuff going on down here this week.
Well, we talked about the offensive coordinator at Washington basically turning down the opportunity, Ryan Grubb. You know, I don't know that he was necessarily offered the job. I think there were some reports that he was, but ultimately deciding to stay at Washington after talking to Nick Saban about it. Other than that, I haven't seen a ton of buzz. There's, you know, he's having to fill 2 coordinator positions right now. And I think they're trying to work through some stuff to see what would it take to hire Jeremy Pruitt, you know, with all the NCAA issues hanging over him there. Todd Grantham's name has come up for the defense coordinator position. So they're balancing some plates down in Tuscaloosa trying to fill these roles. And the quarterback situation is more certain at Notre Dame than it is at Alabama right now. I mean, there's without a doubt, Sam Hartman in his final year of eligibility is going to be the guy for Notre Dame. And at Alabama, you're thinking, okay, it's probably going to be an open competition, likely between Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson, both blue chip quarterbacks. Saw some of Milroe last season. Just an electric runner with the football, but obviously some issues in the passing game, some inconsistencies. He's a really young player.
The turnovers.
Yeah, ton of turnovers. That was one of the reasons why Texas A&M was a play away from winning in Tuscaloosa last season.
Yeah.
But we didn't really see what Ty Simpson had. They didn't throw him out there. Simpson, a 5-star from right here in Tennessee, from Martin, Westview High School. So I think that's going to be an open competition in fall camp, and it's going to be really interesting to see what Alabama and their offense looks like with an offensive coordinator that would have a ton of talent at his disposal with just a little bit of uncertainty at quarterback.
615-737-1045 is how you join our discussion at any point. What else do you have, Lucas?
John Bryce, a Football Scoop, also, he was on with Blaine and Mickey a couple weeks ago. He did mention Jeff Lebby and Scott Frost as names to keep an eye on in this thing, as the biggest names to keep an eye on in this process. Lebby worked for Josh Heupel at UCF, was the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss under Kiffin, at Oklahoma this past year under Venables, and Scott Frost. Obviously, most people know his resume. So both would be splashy hires by Nick Saban.
Well, they would be headline. Well, certainly Scott Frost would be the biggest headline grabbing hire, given that they given the whole circumstance, how that came crashing to a screeching halt at Nebraska, and one of the most disappointing college football hires I think there's been in the past decade, given how much he means to that university and how flatly it fell on its face. But we will keep you updated with that as far as the SEC transactions go. Meanwhile, a bunch of wide receivers, including a bunch of dudes from the SEC, are here in Mobile. One in particular is not, that I think the Titans should consider, but we're going to give you some information on some guys that I've been watching coming up next, as well as some Greg Cosell analysis. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.